She died and came back? What?
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Dupree, scouring the globe to bring you stories of courage, passion, and resilience. If I could sum up this podcast into one word, I would use empathy. Now let's get inspired.
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I am your host, once again, Brett Dupree. Today I get to talk to Mariko Frederick, who is the first guest I have talked to who has died. Wow. Isn't that weird? Or something. I don't know. Just never talked to someone who died before. It's always fun to talk to people with different experiences. But first I talk about what's going on in my life. Because if I can't be vulnerable with what's going on in my life, how can I ask my guests to be vulnerable? Wow. In 3 days, I'm going to be 42. 42. My life, universe, and everything year. I've been thinking back at this year as I always get kind of reminiscent of the past towards the end of my year life on Earth. This 41st year has felt long, very long, very, very long. For obvious reasons. I didn't reach a lot of my goals. It's been still spinning my wheels in a lot of cases. But instead of looking at what I don't have, I gotta look what I do. Number one, I bought a car. That was super fun. It's nice. It's a hybrid. It does what I want it to do. Interest rate was reasonable. I also have had a girlfriend for an entire year. Well, we've been dating for over a year. And so, but yeah, had her the entire time. It's been great. Love her very much. Very happy with her. And what else is great about this year? I've had my job. Not only did I have my current job as a software tester, I even got a raise, which I was not expecting due to the climate and what's going on. I thought I was making a decent amount. Now I'm making a little bit more of a decent amount. So, yeah. Pretty much paid for my raise. Pretty much paid for my car payments. How cool is that? How cool is that? I've had fun experiences. Watched football in the bar. That was fun. I'll miss football, but yeah, the Dolphins drafted Tua Tagovailoa. I'm a Miami Dolphin fan. So that was a very fun day of being stuck in the house. I finally got the TV of my dreams. That was super awesome. I started playing board games with my sisters over the internet, and that's been super fun. I've really appreciated that, and I did play more board games before the whole pandemic thing and going to this place called Arcane Comics, and that was a lot of fun, and playing more board games was something I wanted to do more. Also, something that happened that sucked at the beginning of my 41st year is my knees went out, both of them. One right after the other. While not fully healed, my left knee, which was the original knee, I like to call it, that hurt. I don't feel much pain unless I'm going up and down stairs. My right knee's still kind of sore. It's just when I have to baby a little bit more, but I don't need a cane and everything's good. Yeah. I'm liking that. I still have my health for the most part. I probably need to go check in to see if I do have anemia or something. But I've been taking iron pills. But we'll see. But for the most part, all my other numbers are still lower. Maybe some are kind of high, but I don't need any medicine or anything like that. That's something to be thankful for. My Lightworker Toastmasters Club, which I talked a lot about through the years. We reached President's Distinguished before pre-COVID. And not only that, at one point we were the second largest club with 44 members. That was awesome. I put on the expo, which was super fun. And what a great, amazing experience that was. Thanks, Lorelei, for helping that out. If you're in Seattle or Oregon, Lorelei, I'm bad with last name, Charmongo. She does IA readings, but she also puts on events and we helped her put on the event. She did most of the work. I picked up some of the slack, but not very much, to be honest. Even though it was my project, she did great. And she had a good time, so it was still mutually beneficial. But I'm sure she wished I did more. But everything worked out, so I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to look at the thankful part that it happened. It was fun. I helped coordinate an event that I've never done. I ran a speaker's room that went swimmingly. It was great. That was a fun day. So I'm very grateful for that memory. Gave my girlfriend a pretty ring for Valentine's Day, I think, or her birthday. I don't remember. Time. I think it was her birthday. It was very pretty. I remember looking at it. You know what's funny? When I bought her that ring, she had a dream that I bought her an amethyst ring, and she wrote it down in her journal. That's what you get for dating a psychic. Move to a smaller place, and honestly, I like this place more than my last place. I like the location better overall. Where I am, it's so quiet, and I just like, it just has a nice feel to it, you know? And it's really close to the lake, which is pretty. So that's fun. I really enjoyed that. Tried a lot of food that was delicious. Finally checked out New Seattle, which is a restaurant. It has bunny chow, which is something I just discovered. It's a South African dish that I didn't know existed, and it's pretty much curry in a bread bowl, and that was delicious. So I appreciate all the delicious foods I've tried over this year. It's been a good year, minus, of course, the global pandemic and being stuck at home. I do miss going out to karaoke and all those things, but for the most part, I also got over, what's funny, is I was thinking about doing this year in review for my podcast, and I think that one thing that I really hit at the age of 41 was a fear of death. It just hit me really hard. I think that's what happens when you have a midlife crisis, is you just, that feeling, the recognition that it's going to happen someday. And for some reason, I was able to just spiritually my way through it, apparently, or just not think about it too much. But at 41, that would hit hard, and I would just some days just be laying and just feeling that existential fear of nothingness. So it's really funny talking to somebody who's been dead and talk to people from the great beyond. So I was thinking how funny that was. But over the year, I've gotten over that. I don't feel, when I think about it, I don't feel that dread feeling anymore, which is nice because it's crippling. Sheesh. I see why people in their 40s buy expensive cars and date 20-year-olds and just do anything they can to not think about it, because that is a fear, even though I do have an amazing girlfriend who I love very much, but I did buy a new car, so I guess I had a little bit of that, didn't I? I'm working on some things. I'm still getting over my anxiety about my job and job situation and not just feeling insecure all the time, so I think that's good. And yeah, so for the most part, 41 did me well. I can have a lot to complain about, but at the same time, it's been good. It has a lot of great memories, like going to the lavender, pick berries with my girlfriend, and all our cuddling and all the fun things that we do together and playing board games together, and just spending time with her has been amazing, and just, it's been a good year. And sometimes in life, I think it's good to be grateful and look back and think of all the things that you have gratitude for. And in many ways, I'm blessed. And speaking of blessing, I was blessed with this wonderful interview with Mariko Frederick. Imagine dying, then coming back, and your gift was able to see and hear people's destinies. Mariko Frederick did just that, and her journey and dedication is to help entrepreneurs leverage the major gifts already in them that they're meant to serve the world with. She has worked with Olympic and professional athletes, CEOs of 7- and 8-figure businesses, and serves as a transformational speaker, healer, and high-performance coach. Now here is my interview with Mariko Frederick. Hello, Mariko, and welcome to my podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you on. You are the first person I've ever talked to who died.
Oh, nice. I'm excited to share it.
So who were you before that experience?
Oh, good question. So before my death experience, I was an avid rock climber. I was living in the mountains in Lake Tahoe and had been living in the mountains for about, I think, all in 10 years. And I was a climber, an avid hiker, backpacker, and I had a practice in alternative medicine, in traditional Chinese medicine. I did the healing, the non-acupuncture healing form. So I'm board certified in Asian bodywork therapy with the National Certification Commission for Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine.
You said non-acupuncture?
Yeah. So there's 3 branches of Chinese medicine. There's acupuncture, there is Chinese herbs, and there's something called Asian bodywork therapy. And Asian bodywork therapy is like energy healing and acupressure portion of Chinese medicine.
Oh, I did not know that. That's cool.
Well known. It's kind of the less known branch of Chinese medicine. And so most people think of Chinese medicine and they think of acupuncture. But really, there's also a whole field within that in herbology and acupressure and energy healing. And that's what I practiced, was always the energy healing, acupressure, and herbology portion.
Oh, interesting. So what got you to the point of, well, I guess, death? Don't know how to answer that question.
How'd you die? Funny story. It gets kind of complicated. The basic thing is that I had not been feeling well. I had unknowingly contracted Lyme disease hiking in the forest. I'd unknowingly contracted it 3 weeks prior to my death experience. And so when I went in for a treatment with somebody who was practicing alternative medicine, I went in for the treatment. Unbeknownst to me, this person had no license and no credentials and had opened a practice by using somebody else's license. This person hurt me, injured me to the point of having a near-death experience. And so that's how I died. And then it got more complicated because it was very difficult to recover because I also had Lyme disease. And that was kind of brewing in the background.
What was the recovery like?
Brutal. So the recovery from which part? The death?
Yes.
Okay. It was so it's intertwined. That's why I asked. I had two things going on. So one was the death experience, and it was brutal. The recovery took, it's hard to say how long it took. It took a minimum of a year, but truly I was sick and mostly in bed for 3.5 years. And most of that was due to the Lyme disease. And eventually the Lyme disease went into my brain. But the recovery from the death experience, here's the thing. It took a long time. It definitely took a long time for me to physically heal. But I would say the deeper healing that I had to go through was really a spiritual healing and emotional healing. Because when I came back from that experience, I felt like I was there for so long that by the time they told me I had to go back, I barely remembered who Mariko was. And so coming back into a body that now can't stand up and is in horrible pain, it felt helpless. And so I think that the recovery was brutal, really emotionally and spiritually, because in my death experience, I felt home. And then coming back into my body, I came back into a very sick and injured body. So that part was actually the more difficult part of the recovery.
What did you mean by they told you that you're going back?
When I died, so it's a whole experience when you leave this world. And so it's funny because we use the word die, we use the word death, but really there is no death. I never felt more alive than when I left this world. I never felt more alive than when I died. When the experience is long, and that's going to be in my book because I can't get this all out in our podcast. I wish I could. There are souls on the other side, and they're not souls in my experience that you see with your human eyes because you're not in your human form anymore. I was told, I was given the assignment on my life. It felt to me like I was being downloaded. And then after that, I was told quite a few things, but really it was that it wasn't my time, that I had to go back and help people. See, my personality didn't really go away. So, of course, soaring in this bliss and love and infinite, just ecstatic love, when they said, you have to go back, I said, no. And they said, you have to. It's not your time. It took 3 times for me to finally say yes. They had to explain it to me that each soul has a specific time that they leave this world, and you can't go before that time, and you cannot go after that time. And this was not my time. I had to go back and serve. I had to go back and help people.
You came back from death and you're starting to, what process did you, how did you heal?
So interesting, again, back to the death experience. When I was told to go back in my body, I tried. I was like, okay, like I knew how to do that, right? Sure. Done this before. I found that agreeing was not enough. And then I said, I can't, I don't know how. And it felt like I was being pushed from behind and just flying through space really fast or something. That was just the feeling I had. And next thing I knew, it was in my body. It hurt. When I hit my body, it was like being run over by a train. My first thought when I took my breath was, when I started breathing again, was, I have to go to the hospital. And in that moment, it was almost like they brought me back into the death experience, back into the bliss, back into the love, and said, don't use Western medicine. And then there I was back in my body after that moment. Interestingly enough, I didn't seek out Western medicine right away. I went to my acupuncturist who had, before I went to school, who had trained me in Chinese medicine and theory and herbs. And so I went to him, who he lived a few hours away, and he started treating me and he started healing me mostly with herbs. And then 5 weeks after the experience, I thought, I don't know if there's permanent damage, right? There's blood in my urine. My urine looks like oil. It's bad. It's sinking to something was wrong, right? And so I went to a doctor. Of all the people on the planet, this doctor, I go into his office and I tell him what happened. My career started out working in as like an ICU tech in a trauma intensive care. So I'm expecting this guy to kind of go, whatever, right? And so I tell him what happened, that I had a death experience and that I'm not supposed to use Western medicine, but I really need to know if there's permanent damage. He just stops and he's like, I can't believe it. I had a death experience 8 years ago. And so he understood that assignment, that instruction that I shouldn't use Western medicine. And so he really just did labs to see if he could figure it out. And I don't think anything was super conclusive because it was weeks later and I was sort of healing. That's what I did. And so I continued to seek ways to heal. But like I said, at the same time, I had Lyme disease in my body. And that was just tearing through my body. While I was healing from one experience, I was getting worse from the other.
How long did it take you to feel like you're to the point of healed, I guess?
My experience was 16 years ago. And I would say that it's really just been in the last couple years that I have consistent energy, that I feel good all the time. It's not something that I stop looking at. While I don't consider myself to have Lyme disease, I still do get treatments once or twice a year to keep my health up. I get vitamin IVs and I get different things. I take a lot of supplements that I would not normally have to take. I feel good now, but I would say it was really 10 years of struggle.
What got you into wanting to help other people and serve? You see here on your bio, it says you're able to see and hear people's destiny.
Yeah, so that's the gift I came back with after my death experience. And you know, it didn't happen like day one. Like I said, day one, I was very sick. Over the years, what would happen was I would be having a conversation with someone and I could just see what their next was. I could just see what they really should be doing. And I started to allow myself to voice what I was seeing for them. In the beginning, when you're first using your gift, and this is a brand new gift, right? Like I was good at healing people on the physical level and maybe even the emotional level. But this was a different level. This wasn't healing. This was literally just having this knowing about somebody. And so I just started to play with it a little bit. And say, that's really curious. It's funny that I said that to you. And then not long after, sometimes a year after, they'd be like, you know, we had this conversation and what you said is exactly what just happened. And I'm like, oh, interesting. And that would happen again and again. And then finally, I really started using it in my healing practice. And people would come in and I would literally see the assignment on their life. And that's what I recognize it now is that I see the assignment on their life, what they're meant to do before they leave this world, how to do it. And I get a lot of specifics now about exactly how they're going to do it, what to do, what their purpose is, what the assignment is, clear the obstacles for them. And that's how I use it today.
Sounds like a big responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's why it took me so many years to start really using it and saying that out loud. That's a big thing to say out loud. It took a long time and many people to watch it become very accurate and go, interesting. Okay, so I guess that's just the gift I came back with. And then I had to get into, it's okay that I have this gift. It's okay. Because for me, I came from that background, especially we talked earlier, being from an Asian culture, Japanese culture, it's like you're supposed to go to school for anything you do, you know? And this isn't something that you go to school for. I can't prove it. I don't have a degree. I don't have, it's just what I am now. And so I have to follow that assignment on my life. So that's what I'm doing. And I'm helping other people follow the assignment on their life as well.
I assume of what you do that you deal with a few people who are less quote unquote haters. How do you deal with people who send you things of that nature, that kind of energy?
I don't get a lot of that. I really don't get a lot of it. The circles that I hang out with, my friend group, we're very mixed race. My friends are all different cultures, Black, white, Hispanic, Jewish, all kinds of races, right? Asian. And so I don't get that within my group or anybody that they hang out with. Occasionally I'll get somebody on social media that says something. And it's not even that what they're saying is bad. It's just that I could feel their frustration inside. It's really about looking at saying, who am I here to serve? And if I offend somebody that I'm here to serve, then there's a problem, right? I've got to look at myself. I just kind of ignore the people, that energy that would send anything to me. But honestly, I haven't had it very often. And when I have had it, okay, so there's one time, but it really wasn't a hater. It was just somebody sent me the wrong picture. Let's just put it that way. It was an accident. But I haven't had a lot of like hate come toward me.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So what made you want to write a book?
That book has been in me since I came back. A lot of it was about sharing who we are and the journey of the soul and what happens in our life out in the afterlife. And so it's been a really long journey to be able to voice this out loud and tell everybody really what the journey of the soul is and give them all the specifics. And it's been difficult for me, I think, because it's a book that I haven't read yet. And so to step out in a space that you might be the first one to say these things can be a little scary. But yet I know that when I die, this is literally what I'm here to do. I don't get an out. This is literally the assignment on my life. They could not have been more clear. So I can't even say, oh, I didn't know. I know what I'm here to do. And so that's really where the book comes from. And my business, my company, which is called Soul Priority. And I have a feeling the working title of the book is going to be Soul Priority, Life in the Afterlife. That's a working title, so we'll see.
So I'm interested. How long has it taken?
The book? You know, I would say it's really, I've known it since literally lying in bed when I came back. I knew that I was here to work with a lot of people and share my story, but I was too sick to do that for a decade. I would say it's really been in the past, seriously, in the past 5-6 years that I started writing and having like a little bit of a rough draft and really writing it down. And then now I'm working with a literary agent and I've got more help around it. Hopefully that'll get published this summer.
I don't know if my question is going to be off base, but it sounds to me like it's interesting to me that you had this life calling and this life journey, but still had something hold you back from expressing it in your book. So I'm wondering if it was something that was just not ready to come out yet, or that you kind of had to allow your work through some fears of getting it out there.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious. I was talking to some friends yesterday and they were laughing at me because even just yesterday, I was like, well, I mean, maybe I should write this other book. Maybe I should pivot over here. And they're like, literally, Mariko, you died and you're still resisting. And I'm like, I know. It is. It's hard to step out and say, hey, I know this information and I know it because I experienced it. And that's a very difficult thing for me to say. And so to get really clear on what this is, because it's not that when I use my gift, when I talk about life in the afterlife, when I can answer very clearly about what happens in the afterlife, and even down to why I do the work I do, the real reason is because I don't want anyone to die with an assignment on their life. I don't want anyone to leave this world and hear the words. Because when you leave this world, they show you the big version of what you could have done. They're like, here's what your life could have done. This is what your potential was, right? When you realize you didn't meet that potential, I don't want anyone else to ever hear the words, you died and you can't go back. You'll never be that person again. It's too late. And so that's why I do the work I do. The part that I have been, let's call it how it is, I've been dragging my feet to speak about is that I stayed completely awake or conscious or however you want to put it between my last life and this one. It's not just the death experience that I had when I was 29 years old. It's also that when I was born, I remembered everything that we go through. And I thought everyone did. I didn't know that people didn't remember that till I was about 19 years old.
I have no idea. For me, it's just darkness.
Most people don't remember. And for me, it's not even a memory. Like, I didn't forget it. It's just the way I remember last Tuesday. It's part of me. It's part of who I am. The bigger story that I'm here to share is literally the journey of the soul and the life that we go through in the afterlife. What happens when we die? What happens all the way up until we're born again? That's really the story that I'm here to share. And that's a big part of why they sent me back.
Yeah, something that you said before, that it's too late, you can't go back, this is what you could have been. That sounds like the saddest thing ever.
And I live with that feeling of how it felt. I live with that every day. And that's why, you know, when you said, geez, I can't remember what you said exactly, your reaction to that, I can see what people are meant to do. It was like, that's a lot. And it is. But I'll tell you what's more is knowing I have this gift and not using it. That's worse.
I believe what Wayne Dyer was quoting someone else, like, don't die with your music still in you.
And I think a lot of people do. And for several reasons, it's one of the things that I've seen over and over and over again is that when people are looking for their purpose and they're really looking to do the thing that they feel called to do, and maybe they can't even identify what that is yet. But what they do know is that the people around them don't see it. One of the biggest mistakes we make is that we wait for the people around us to see the assignment on our life. They can't see it because universe, God, however you call that higher being, didn't give them that assignment. They gave you that assignment. And so not everybody can see it, but a lot of times we wait and we look for permission from the people that we love the most. And then when we don't get it, we don't do it because we're sitting in confusion. I actually have on my website, and everybody's welcome to go there, soulpriority.com. I have the 5 biggest mistakes people make when trying to find their purpose. And that's part of one of them.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of entrepreneurs now who they went into whatever they went to is just because that's what their parents wanted them to do.
Yeah, that happens a lot. And I think that the old way of doing things where we're born and we're supposed to pick a career and make money and have kids, people want more nowadays.
Yeah, I think that's true. Plus, we are in a position now where we're privileged enough in the Western world, at least in a lot of places, though, to be able to want more and Yeah. Not just love that.
Exactly. We're not on survival mode. We're not just hoping that we have enough for food. Hopefully most people in this country, there are still some that unfortunately are in that position. But when you're living the assignment on your life, the other thing I recognize in my death experience is that there can be a lot of abundance tied in with that. And abundance in all forms, right? Not just money, although sometimes money, oftentimes money, but sometimes it's the abundance of health, the abundance of joy, the abundance of love, the abundance of knowing and living each day fulfilled, that you know, like you know, that you're doing exactly what you were called to do. And that peace of mind is worth everything. When you decide to step into the assignment on your life, even though it can be hard, even though people won't believe in you, even though your assignment might not fit into the life you see right now, when you get there, it just feels right. And you have the support you need. And oftentimes, if you're serving other people, there is a path to financial abundance as well.
Yeah, one thing, the more means you have, the more means you have to actually help people and serve as well. It's one of the benefits, one of the spiritual aspects of money.
Exactly. And so the more you have, the more you're in alignment with your purpose. And if that purpose helps bring in financial abundance, you can serve from your overflow. You can give from your overflow. But if you're just scraping by and sitting in confusion and really not moving forward into that divine purpose, it's hard to serve from your overflow because you yourself aren't feeling as fulfilled as your potential is for you to feel fulfilled.
So what does it look like to work with you?
I have a few different ways to work with me. One is the very popular way is it's my Life Clarity Intensive. Traditionally, actually literally up until COVID, I would do that in one day. It was a half day intensive and I would record the session and we would talk on the phone and I would literally go through all areas of your life, anything that's getting in your way, the obstacles, what you're meant to do before you leave this world, how you're going to do it, your five-year plan, your one-year plan, get all of that done. Now, because of COVID and I want to serve in a bigger way, I've actually opened that same intensive up to where now it can take me 3 months to where we work twice a month for 3 months. And I give you the same information, but now because people have more time on their hands, they can take an hour of time, we can talk, and then they can go and digest it and then come back with questions and do that again and again. And so that's one way that I work with people. And then the other way, and that's for people that really know they have something on their life they're meant to do, and they just want the answers. They're just like, you know, short and sweet, give me the answers. And that's what we do. And they're ready, right? A lot of, if you've been to my website, a lot of the people that I work with are highly successful. And so they don't need a lot of time. In fact, sometimes that same Life Clarity Intensive that might take somebody 6 hours or 3 months, somebody else might get the whole thing in 2 hours. They don't need a lot of time, right? They just want the information and they go. And I have another way that people work with me for a longer period of time where we work for a year. That's my Emergence Program, where you know you have something to do. You have no idea what that is. And you literally want to emerge into the person that can do it. And that's the other way that I work with people.
So what is your favorite success story?
Ooh, I have so many. You know, there's so many different types, but I would say early on when I started doing this work, before I even called it Life Clarity Intensive, before I even knew what was, I knew what was going on, but it was still fairly new to me. And I had somebody call me for a session. Within 5 minutes, I said, and I didn't know this person, I'd never met them. And I said, why haven't you quit your job and started your business? And she's like, what? And I said, you need to quit your job and start. And I just start going off on her. And I'm like, this and this and this and this and this is going to happen and this should happen and this. She's just like, mm-hmm. Who are you? And fast forward, she has a 7-figure business that she enjoys today.
Beautiful. What do you enjoy most about what you do?
Serving. The biggest thing, it's just knowing that I'm helping other people get to the assignment on their life, that when I leave this world, you know, as much as I talk to my clients about abundance and as much as I help most of my clients, I mean, so far I can, you know, knock on wood, because I can't guarantee these results. It was like a side effect, honestly. But I started watching how all my clients started making more money. And it literally was, I was like, it's a side effect. And I didn't know that this was going to happen. But that's where I'm saying living in your purpose is oftentimes in alignment with abundance. It's not always money. Some people don't need money, right? Some people, they already have a lot of money and they need abundance in a different way. They want to be happy. They want to feel fulfilled. What was your question?
What do you love most about what you do?
Thank you. I was living in what I love most about what I do. I was answering it. What I love most is two things. One, just knowing that I'm living the assignment on my life, knowing that I'm doing what they sent me back to do. That's probably what I love because it fulfills me. What I love most about my day is when I work with somebody, it's so much fun because we get talking and they're like, literally within 5 minutes, you knew everything about me. How did you know that? What I love is just unpacking all the stuff, all the blocks that they think they have in their life, and just being able to unpack that so quickly and say, here, this is another possibility. This is a big possibility. You can go do this. And I love their excitement. I love that everything I tell them, every time, this is what people tell me, they're like, gosh, you know, everything you said about me, everything you told me to do, it's like inside, I knew it, but I couldn't have told you. I didn't have the words to express it. But like everything you said hits them. Everything I say to them, they say, it just hits me like it's truth. It's fun because when that happens, they have the success that they're looking for. They have the outcome and the results they're looking for. And so that's probably one of my favorite parts.
That sounds delightful.
Yes, it's fun.
I guess give people, either when this comes out, your book will just be coming out or almost coming out, give people a preview of why they should check out your book.
So this book is going into something that I've never really talked about out loud because it's so much to unpack. But really what I came back with was a couple things, but one is the three priorities of the soul. And so that's why I named my business Soul Priority, S-O-U-L, right? Because there are three priorities of the soul, and unpacking each one gives you the path, not just to higher consciousness, because that's really the main thing we're here to do, but also potentially the path to turn your purpose into profits. And that's something that I'm really passionate about because let's face it, like we know we're supposed to be spiritual. We know we're supposed to meditate. We know we're supposed to pray. We know all these things, right? And very few people really do. Very few people can say, yeah, I sit down, I meditate every day, because they get distracted with life and work. I've been able to have a meditation practice since I was 19 years old for decades. But to be able to be, and people used to say, gosh, you know, you're so lucky though, because look at your job, right? It's just in alignment with that. What I'm finding is other people's jobs are in alignment with it too. And so when you find that alignment between your soul's purpose and abundance, people are all in. That's fun, right? That's fun.
Definitely.
So then they do the work because they're in alignment with the calling on their soul.
That sounds exciting. I look forward to reading it.
Thank you.
We are coming close to the end of our time together. And one thing I like to ask my guests is do a 1 minute of motivation. You can imagine this as if you are talking to your 8-year-old self and you want to convey everything you need to live a happy, joy-filled life, but then you're plopped back into the future in under a minute. Or you can think of it as condensing your life purpose into a minute. So are you ready? Life's
that
message.
Sounds like fun. I feel like I'm at a game show. I'm getting nervous. That sounds like fun. So I would tell her to stop looking outside of herself for the answers. And this is not something that you're going to be told when you're that even at 8 years old, there's a part of her, there's a part of her soul, there's a part of her wisdom inside that knows better than the outside world. And I would tell her to follow that knowing, follow that intuition, because that's going to bring her closer to the assignment on her life. Not to worry and seek too much approval from people on whether or not she's doing it right, whether or not she's making everybody happy, whether or not she's going to the right schools and going to get the right job and going to have the right career, because it's really the knowing inside of her that she needs to follow and that will bring her happiness, peace of mind, and will be a way for her to help the world become a better place. And so it's really about being solid in listening to your intuition and following that instead of anybody else.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on my podcast. I very much enjoyed listening to your story on, well, since you're the first person I talked to, how you died and came back and at first struggled to heal, but were able to get past that and be able to see and help people and serve people in such a wonderful way. As living your purpose is extremely important, as there's just nothing more fulfilling than being aligned with your soul's desire, your soul purpose, and helping other people remove those blocks is such a great service. Keep on using that word. So thank you so much for being on my podcast and sharing yourself. And thank you so much for what you do for society.
Thank you so much for having me here. I appreciate it. This was a fun conversation. And I think I want to also thank you for how you show up in the world. And thank you for allowing people to share stories that are going to bring them more joy. I think this is something that's missing in our society. And I just want to say thank you for showing up this way for all of us here.
Thank you for that. May your day be special. Wow. That was my interview with Mariko Frederick. Very interesting talking to somebody who's died. I really enjoyed the idea of, well, maybe not enjoyed, but hearing that we all have some sort of purpose of some kind or something to do. I'm sure some of our purposes is to do our best and live the best life. Because, as I've been saying over and over again, not everyone's born with a bigger purpose other than maybe raising some great kids and enjoying grandkids. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. Nothing wrong with that at all. I think one thing about soul purpose is they're all equal. And especially when you think of the gigantic bigness of life and soul, that some of us come down to do our best and enjoy life, and some of us come down to inspire others. But I don't hope that doesn't sound condescending. I'm just saying not everyone wants to do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But for the people who do, listening to that and working on not dying with the music left in you and to get the clarity that is needed, because as somebody who has struggled with that over the years, I totally can understand how somebody who provides such a great service that Mariko does is very, very promising and would be very helpful. I very much appreciate her even talking about her struggle, because a lot of times, especially if you have a big purpose, it can be hard to live up to. I kind of wish I a little bit more into her self-doubt and how she's working past that, because I'm sure all of us have had that. I mean, that's probably why you're listening to this podcast, is because you want to listen to other people who have gone past that barrier of doubt that exists for a lot of us. It's not an everybody thing, but a lot of us, we have this big idea. We go for it. Things don't go exactly how we plan. We don't know exactly what we're doing. We try different courses and different coaches, and it doesn't work. And then we get frustrated, and then we stop. Or at least I do. Basically, if you're interested in working with Mariko, you can find her at soulpriority.com. That's S-O-U-L priority.com. Not S-O-L-E, the other word, because she's the founder and CEO of Soul Priority, a training development company dedicated to personal development of professionals and entrepreneurs who are ready to turn their higher purpose into higher profits. You can also find her on Instagram at Mariko Frederick and Facebook at The Mariko Frederick. And there you have it, folks. That is episode 83 of the Joyous Expansion Podcast. Wow, 83 episodes. Cray, cray. So thank you so much for living. Thank you so much for living. Thank you so much for living. Way to go. And listening. I love you for who you are. I am once again Brett Dupree. You can find me at Joyous Expansion. More episodes at joyousexpansion.com. pod.joyousexpansion.com. You could also find me on Instagram, at Twitter, and LinkedIn at Joyous Expansion. You can find me on Facebook at Increase Your Joy, because my SEO game is terrible. You can email me for any reason at BRE2TS, at joyousexpansion.com. I am Brett Dupree. Thank you so much. I'm the champion for authentic joy, catalyst of transformation for the Church of Awesome, and Joyous Expansion Life Coach, wishing you once again to be love, to be joy, to be awesome. Now, play that jingle.
JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com. Come and say hello to Brett Dupree. He is an inspirational life coach. Good for you and good for me. He turned my life from gray to blue. I'm sure he'll do the same for you. Get in touch and you'll see your life will change dramatically. JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com. Yeah.